Welcome to the Nexus Podcast. The word Nexus means a connected group. And when it comes to church leadership, we're better together. No one should have to choose between developing themselves and developing their church. The Nexus Podcast by Christ Fellowship is all about having real conversations that equip and resource you to grow and develop the best versions of yourself, your team, and your church. So let's lean in.
Hey, we're back with another episode of the Nexus Podcast, and today we are talking all about culture and the next generation. I'm your host, James Duvall, and I'm joined with Ryan McDermott. Ryan has been in ministry for 17 years and a part of Christ Fellowship for the last 12 years. Ryan currently serves as Executive Director of Family Ministry and is on our senior management team. He is a profound communicator of the gospel and has a passion for the next generation. So let's jump in. Ryan, it is so awesome to have you on the show. We've known each other for a long time and had the privilege to work with you. You're an amazing leader, and I know that you spend a lot of time leading next-gen leaders, Gen Z, and there's a lot of dynamics of leading those leaders, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to our conversation and something I'm really passionate about. So
awesome. So to kick us off, why don't you just take a moment and just share a little bit of your Christ Fellowship story, what brought you here, and a little bit of the role you play at Christ Fellowship.
Yeah, I've been on team for just over 12 years, started because somebody pieced together three or four job descriptions and squeezed something out of it, and have been involved in next generation ministry the entire time. So currently look after kids, students, and young adults, ministries across all of our campuses, family ministry. Yeah, it's a joy and a privilege.
That's awesome. So what makes you so passionate about this age range and building this ministry?
I think personally, the Lord changed my life in middle school. So it's just been part of my story and have always been passionate about that because I see the opportunity for life change. And there's so many things like if we can establish a foundation and impact the trajectory of somebody's life at such a young age, the potential and the opportunity is so significant. So that's one reason the Lord changed my life in student ministry. I think the other reason is just there's such an opportunity to empower the next generation to be the church, you know, we talk about around here, not just of tomorrow, but of today. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing like, you know, discipling a kid or spending time with a kid and watching a couple moments in their life, like when the scriptures come to life and they recognize the word of God is living and active. There's nothing like spending time with a kid and like watching them realize they can be used of God and have influence in the life of their kids. And there's just a couple of moments like that that I live for. And I think Gen Z, as an example, and Gen Alpha coming behind them, largest generations today. More people on planet Earth as a part of Gen Z than any other at the moment. So the impact that we can have, the potential is so significant. I heard somebody say, this is true in a lot of areas of life, but you know, invest early and often and you see the biggest returns. And so I'm really passionate about kids ministry, student ministry, because I think that's where we're going to get the most return for our investment.
That's awesome. So many listeners maybe have team members on their staff or people they work with that they are leading who fall in that Gen Z and some even that next Gen Alpha that's coming behind. What are some dynamics of that generation that leaders need to know and some ways that they can be effective in helping lead that generation?
Yeah, I think it's important for all of us as leaders to some extent to understand generational theory and what some of the trends are and tendencies. However, I think the most important lesson that I've learned is every individual that we lead is different. And so I think I've learned more and more just the value in leading them individually. And that is part of what they value as a generation, but recognizing that the same things don't work for everybody. So I think it's actually allowed me to recognize more about my own personal leadership than even necessarily maybe how a generation is wired. But that would be one thing. I also think, you know, one of the things I really appreciate about Christ Fellowship is we're constantly looking at ways we can give leadership away, you know, younger and faster.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we need to be doing, you know, empowering the next generation, making them feel like they're a part of something. At the same time, that can be messy.
Yeah.
And I think being comfortable with the mess. And if I rewind the clock for me, just even looking back, like I have no idea why at 17, you know, my youth pastor was like, "Hey, you're preaching the message tonight."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Thanks for all the notice." You know, I'm thankful for a church that gave me a shot.
Yeah.
And I think we can all create cultures where we do that and give students opportunity to lead in significant ways. If we give them something significant to do, they will feel significant. So I think as you lead the next generation, it's important to take into consideration who they are individually. I think there's a lot of great resources out there about what we are seeing in terms of trends and tendencies. But I think at the end of the day, the most important thing to do is give them opportunity to lead and pastor and disciple them through the mistakes and the messes. And I don't know that that part changes from generation to generation, but I think the value of that changes.
Yeah, so good. I think one of the things that I'm learning from my generation, I'm a little bit older than you, but I think when I was kind of that younger person, when I started serving a church or started my career, it was really about the career and the mm-hmm. place and so forth. I think that's one of the dynamics that we're seeing now is that with Gen Z, it's really not about the place. It's about the culture.
Yeah.
It's about the health of the organization. It's about the place that they are going to feel like they personally can thrive, right?
Absolutely.
It's more, not that they're selfish, but it's definitely more individualistic than it is the greater whole, right?
Yeah. I think, you know, there are some people that if you kind of go, hey, 5 years from now, this is what you're going to be doing. You know, that's enough for them in a sense that they can look further down the road and see a position or see an opportunity. And that keeps them engaged. I think more and more I'm working with leaders who don't place as much value in the 5-year plan. Yeah. Like you could tell me, I'm going to be the senior pastor in 5 years. But if I'm not being developed like now or cultivated now or invested in now, I don't so much care about what opportunities may open in the future. I care a lot more about my growth and development now. And I would say that's one of the huge benefits of what I see as some of our next gen leaders come up. It's like when I first got into ministry, I don't know if your experience was the same, but I 100% thought I knew everything.
Absolutely.
And everybody who was older than me was wrong. Yeah. You know, like I thought I had the best perspective. And thankfully, through the Lord's grace, like in time, outgrew that. But I see it differently. I see so many of the leaders, not just of our house, but the next gen leaders who are coming up, really leaning in and embracing a spirit of humility and teachability and wanting to learn and wanting to grow. And maybe I was just in different contexts at the time, but I think that's changed. And that I think that that's a huge blessing and benefit because there is so much desire to learn and grow and be invested in. And I think that's incredible.
That's awesome. Turning the corner a little bit from leading the next generation to pastoring the next generation, what are some of the trends that you're seeing that church leaders specifically need to understand about this generation and how we pastor them?
Yeah. I think, thankfully, there is a lot of conversation about Gen Z and understanding Gen Z. At the same time, we're a little late to the game. So, you know, Gen Alpha is entering sixth grade. Yeah. And so the conversation around Gen Z is important. It's beneficial. But if that's where we're focused, we've missed it. You know, I don't mean to say that ship has sailed, but like we're not forward thinking if we're talking about Gen Z. So I'm glad that the church is tuning in and talking about these things. At the same time, we got to get more ahead of it, the conversation, than we are.
Sure, good.
I do think the challenge with generational theory is like none of it's really clear until after the fact. You know, like it's 20 or 30 years from now that we're really going to understand Gen Z. At the same time, there are trends that we can trace across generations. And so, you know, as an example, epidemic of anxiety and depression. It was like something anybody listening to this right now would go, yeah, we see that. And that trend continues to affect the next generation. And so how do we get ahead of, you know, a trend like that? Over the last couple of generations, really just a move from, especially here in the U.S., like, you know, we've kind of lived through the post-Christian era, now really being in more of a post-truth era. And there are, you know, countries that are ahead of that curve or behind that curve, but we're kind of living in those moments. I think it was 1967, there was a Time magazine cover that asked the question, is God dead?
Right.
1967. In 2017, they updated that cover and asked the question, is truth dead?
Wow.
And so just the you know, and we see it like in so many different ways. Yeah. It plays out at all levels of society, but just the concept that truth is self-determined, you know, that it's subjective, it's not objective. How do we really wrestle with what our truth claims and how do we support the idea? Because obviously our entire religion, the foundation of Christianity is that there are truth claims. These things are true and these things are not true. And how do we live our lives according to what is true? But that thought is very foreign, you know, to a generation. And the idea that our worth, our value, our dignity, our identity are actually not things that come from within, but things that are attributed to us because of the fact that we've been created by a good and gracious God. So there's all kinds of things like that that are happening, and we can kind of trace their evolution through the generations. But more so than ever, I think the church has to speak to those things, and specifically has to speak to there is a better place for us to find and understand our identity. And that is the most important thing that we could do, is understand who we are and why we were made. And in doing so, everything else begins to fall in place. So I think there's opportunity there. But as we minister and pastor to the next generation, I think issues of identity obviously will continue to be important. Issues of truth are more important than ever. At the same time, like, the responsibility on the church to interact with love and grace and mercy has never been at a higher value. And the expectation that the truth, that the church would not just know what is true, but would live out what is true and respond to the world with grace and mercy and love. All eyes are on us. You know, they're waiting to see if the walk matches the talk, for lack of a better word, way to phrase it.
That's so good. You know, I think as you were sharing, I just was thinking about any time that there's a kind of a shift in culture or shift, this generational shifts and so forth, there's always the fear of how stepping into the mess is going to have repercussions from the previous generation.
Yeah.
Like, there needs to be some pioneers who step into the mess of like meeting those needs.
Yep.
And I'm even thinking, like, there's people are listening right now that you may be in a situation, you're like, I'm not sure what to do. And if I do the wrong thing, what will people think?
Yeah.
I think the courage to reach this generation, Generation Alpha, is to step into the mess, not step back from it. Because somebody needs to bring truth and the gospel in the area, right?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that's what we see Jesus do. Like, he inserts himself into the middle of the mess. You know, he doesn't avoid the tax collectors and the sinners and those caught in adultery, but he meets them in the middle of their mess. And so I think we can model Christ in that way. I think you're absolutely right. Moving towards those conversations and situations is more important than ever. And historically, like, for whatever reason, the church has shied away from engaging in some of those tougher issues because we don't always know how to handle them, because they're hard. You know, one of the things that Pastor Todd and Julie always say is, like, the church should be the safest place for the hardest conversations. Yeah. And I think that is something that needs to mark our ministries, you know? And so, absolutely, there's a ton of situations where I don't know what to do. But I think when we really commit ourselves to do the most loving thing, to create the safest place for the hardest conversations, to admit to people, like, when we don't know what to do, or we kind of go like, hey, we haven't really been here before, we might make some mistakes as we navigate this with you, just want to be open and honest with you about it. And I think just always thinking about how do I have the hard conversation? How do I, point to truth and point to who Christ is and how that's relevant to people's lives? But also, how do I preserve the relationship that's going to allow me the opportunity over the long haul to speak identity? I think we've got to move towards those issues, and that they're prevalent. They're everywhere.
That's true. You don't have to look for them. They're right there. So obviously we can't sit down with you for the next 24 hours and unpack everything that's in your mind and your knowledge around this. But I know that you have some resources that maybe you could point leaders to that who are wanting to learn more about how to lead the next generation or how to minister to the next generation. What are some resources that you found helpful?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Tim Elmore has a fantastic ministry called Growing Leaders, who's kind of constantly writing about Gen Z, Gen Alpha, a lot of times kind of through the lens of education, but obviously the similarities in ministry are there are a lot. So that's a great resource if you're not familiar with it. All kinds of blog articles that can get sent directly to your inbox. There are obviously a couple of handbooks, like sort of textbooks on Gen Z. If you haven't read those, we can tag them in the show. There's a lot there. Too many to name, really. But I think some people who are really on the front lines of understanding how this plays out in ministry, would be our partners and friends at One Hope, have released some incredible data that they've gathered over the last couple of years. They have one specifically called the Global Youth Report that is very, very helpful just with insights of like people who claim faith, people who are engaged in faith, how do we actually minister to the next generation? And they've actually created several like personas or profiles of kind of typical kids in a ministry and what are the things that they need or that we need more specifically. In order to reach them. And so I would definitely point to a lot of the research that One Hope is doing, and there are others. But as with anything like this, the data is still being released and still being collected and still coming out. And so almost as soon as something's in print, it's out of date. So I really do think it's more just kind of a posture of, I'm going to become a student of these things. I'm going to seek out those resources. And while there's a couple that we could point you to, I think partnering with somebody like a One Hope, or at least being aware of them, they're actually creating entire like student ministry resources for free based off of what they have learned.
That's amazing.
So I think it's more or less finding a couple organizations like that and go, I can't be the one to track down every resource, but these people are committed to do that. And even just with them, because I think it's worth talking about, like, they basically have had this incredible ministry around the world for years and looked up a few years ago and went, man, the largest unreached people group in the world is North American teenagers.
Yeah.
How do we speak their language? How do we understand their culture? All the things that you would do if you were going to go be a foreign missionary, right? And they've just applied that to North America. And I think that there's so much in that. You know, our middle schools and high schools are the largest unreached people groups. Yeah. And so I think that's incredibly important. And then I would just say, like, nobody knows your kids like you know your kids. Yeah, so being on campus with them, having conversations, asking questions of them, not assuming, you know, that something is true. Because that's the only hard part of understanding some of the trends and tendencies in generations is that they're not always true. And so just understanding people's stories and their different perspectives, like obviously we can learn about society and culture and generations, but at the end of the day, sitting down and shepherding your kids and pastoring your kids is the most important way you can learn.
That's awesome. So as we wrap up this conversation, I'm interested, what is something that you're excited about in the future in regard to maybe family ministries here at Christ Fellowship?
Yeah.
Or about reaching the next generation for Christ?
Yeah, I'm excited that we're being very strategic about trying to do more for parents and families than we ever have before. Okay. And so that's a huge opportunity for us. And some of the people listening are going to be really great at that. And we've done some really great things in the past, but trying to be more consistent and more strategic. And so that's where a lot of our effort is going. And I think I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited. This is more a little more internal, but with our approach to family ministry, really working very hard to make sure that kids teams, students teams, young adults teams are all working together and that they're all on the same team. And so what does that look like? How does kids ministry support student events? How does student teams support kids events? And we've already seen just some great return some of the intentionality to make sure that we're all focused on the same thing. And everybody has a different phase, but we're all trying to reach the family. So how do we see a family, not a kid? And so you've led us on that journey for years, and we're trying to take that to the next level. So that's maybe one thing internally. And then also just, I'm excited about the effort that we can make with parents and families. I mean, you did student ministry for a long, you've done everything in the church,
a little bit of everything,
you've done it, that for so long. And we kind of all know the feeling of like, you see the Lord change the life of a kid, but it becomes such a temporary thing because the environment that they go back to hasn't changed.
Yeah.
And so if we want to get serious about changing the life of a kid, we've got to be committed to reaching not just the kid through the event and the gospel presentation. All that's awesome. The Lord uses it all. That's how I got saved. But my life would have been very different if the church was able to reach my family.
Wow.
And so there's an opportunity.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Ryan, thanks so much for being on the podcast. It's always awesome just to hear your mind. You're such a great thinker, and to hear you just share these insights. Obviously, there's probably a lot of people have questions. We're going to maybe put your email address in the show notes if they have some questions or resources. We'll put all those resources in the show notes. But thanks again, man, for being on the podcast today.
Yeah, it's an honor. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Nexus Podcast. For additional resources and show notes from today's episode, check out our website, nexusplatform.com. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, share with a friend, and leave us a comment below. We hope these conversations left you feeling equipped and resourced as you grow and develop the best versions of yourself, your team, and your church.